for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903.
This is the 2010 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, February the 20th, 2010. Nancy Rosario is the speaker of this service, teaching on Neither Give Place to the Devil.
I'll tell you, after being here yesterday and today, I think I'm going to recommend that one of these women's conferences, you guys have a comedy session. Because you ladies have a lot of hidden talent. You know, I think some of you missed your calling. You know, it's great. It's great to be here. Oh, and to our internet audiences listening and watching today. Today is a wonderful day for you. And we encourage you not to turn us off. We're not a virus. We are your answer. Today we are God's answer for you. So stay tuned. Amen. Amen. I want all of you to turn today, since, you know, when I heard Tammy speaking, and she's talking about, and Sister Patty, about what's going on out here, I'm saying, boy, some of us are not really giving a good testimony. If they have to say, some of you are going in there, what's that for food? Sorry, internet users, this is reality. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. How many of you have your sword? How many of you don't have your sword? Never mind. Okay, everybody has it. Good. So we're ready to fight today. Remember, the sword cuts both ways. It's going to cut your way and my way, like Sister Bijou, Ms. Louisiana, said last night. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're only going to read one verse today. And we're all going to read it together. Verse 27. And let's all read it out loud. Neither give place to the devil. You know how much you can get out of that? How much meat you can get out of that little verse? Neither give place to the devil. How many of you know that Satan, and I rebuke him in the name of Jesus, is very territorial? And many times we provide knowingly and sometimes unknowingly a comfort zone for him. He's comfortable. So today, many of you sat in your chairs and you're feeling good and you're feeling comfortable. And I'm going to tell you that most of you are going to get evicted from your chair this morning. Okay? What I'm going to ask, and there's going to be a lot of hustle and bustle, so pick up your bags, pick up your sword, whatever you got to pick up, your water. And I'm actually going to ask any ladies that are here, 65 and up, I want you to sit right here. You don't have to move. 65 and up, sit right in this area, the first two rows, three rows. There's a method to this madness. Very good. And any ladies that are from 50 to 64, right in this area. 50 to 64, right in this area. We're going to see a nice mixture of blonde, black, brunette, salt, pepper, silver. More salt than pepper. I liked that last night. Wow. So we got what? 65 and up right here. What did I say? 50 to 64. Then I want here from 30 to 40. You're 50. Oh, boy, this is great. You guys look really good. They look really... 30 to 40. Oh, 50. Oh, my goodness. God bless you. Okay, 30 to 40 right in here.
Okay, what about 40 to 50?
Oh, but 40 to 50? I forgot. Okay, 40 to 50 here. Wait a minute. 50, this is what, 50 to 60? Oh, God bless you. Okay, so 40 to 50. And then we got 30, 40 to 50, 30, 20, 30. That's it, 20, 30 right there. 20, 30 on this side. 20 to about 39. Okay, if you're 40 right here, 40 to 49 and 50. So you got 40, 50, 60, 65, and then you got your early, young, nice young ones here. Don't skip a row. Don't skip a row, or God will skip you too.
Oh, no.
Come on, fill every seat in there. Wow, this is good. This is good. This is a pure Kodak moment. I really mean it. This is, wow, you ladies look good. Really nice. Again, read it with me. Neither give place to the devil. Amen. Satan is very territorial. Okay. How many of you have gone out there and seen that ground? Have you walked it? You know, it's very hard. You know, you walk it, and it's very hard, right? Very hard. And many of us, when we first come to the Lord, we are very hard ground. We have a lot of luggage, a lot of baggage. Even if you're born and raised with Christian parents, whether they're good Christian parents, bad Christian parents, whatever, you still have a lot of luggage, a lot of baggage. You're very hard ground. You're very hard ground. Today, making believe like you've not making believe, knowing that how that ground is out there, I think today God is going to allow all of you and all of us to just be plowed. It's nice to be plowed. You know, I'm not a farmer, but I play a game on the internet called, you know, that's Farmville. I've learned a lot from it, believe me. I use it. Some people laugh. I went to court one day, and one of the attorneys came in, and she's talking to me, and they had put my photo in one of the newspapers, and she says, "Oh, I didn't know you were a bishop, a pastor," and so we're talking. And then she says, "Oh, and by the way," she starts joking. She says, "I need some pigs in my farm." So we're talking. I said, "Oh, yeah." And I said, "I need some saddles and this and that." And one of my tenants is sitting there. And she says, "Oh, I didn't know you were a pastor and a bishop and a farmer, too." So I told her, "No." I said, "I'm an internet farmer." But being in that, using that, it has given me so much food for thought. Anything we watch, sometimes we say TV it has its bad moments. But if we take everything into the context and try to apply it spiritually, we get a lot of teaching from it. And we can use it. You know, whether to preach, to teach, or even to talk to anyone. So use anything that the enemy has out there that he tries to use for his glory, just turn it right back and flip it on him and use it for God's glory. Without giving the enemy any kudos. Don't give him any glory. Any of that, just flip it around. Okay? So this morning, you're going to look at me as a plow. Okay? You're not going to look at me as this, you know, gorgeous woman that's standing here. You're going to see the Holy Spirit in a plow this morning. There's a tractor. I like Glenn. Glenn has tractors. You've seen what a tractor looks like. Huge tractor. They have a harvester, a tractor, a seeder. I learned all this. We need to be transformed from a fleshly way of thinking and demonic influences to a spiritual way of thinking and reasoning. And the only way we can do that is when the Holy Spirit starts plowing out this hard ground. Got to plow out that ground. I'm going to plow you out. That Holy Spirit today is just going to plow. And you know when you go out there, and I've seen the plow, it goes in and it takes the hard ground, it just rips it up, and all that seed is coming. It takes that soil and it tills it. And then you see that beautiful ground coming out from underneath. It's like a nice dark soil. But I'm sure that ground hurts. How many of you have gone through that where you just come in and this morning we ministered by the grace of God in prayer. And many of you are still a lot of hard ground that's there. And God began plowing this morning. Boy, was God plowing this morning. How many of you were here this morning at 6 o'clock? Okay, I just wanted to see in case any of you fall asleep. I won't be offended because I know you were here since 6. I just want to make sure. Yeah. Okay, Jerry, don't fall asleep. Oh. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. She tells on herself, right? She's so honest. God bless her. But that's because she has been transformed, you know, from that fleshly way of thinking. So she can honestly speak him out because I've been transformed and I won't have to judge her or condemn her. I can laugh along with her like we've all been laughing with each other. Honesty serves many times, you know, as a good laugh. And that's because many of us have been plowed down and we learn. Okay? And this morning, like I said, demons are territorial. They do not want to let go. They need your body. And many of us, before we've been plowed down and tilled in soil, they had made use of our body. And it comes to a time when we have to evict them. And many times we say, well, how? God has given us the authority to do it. Many of us forget that we have the authority. Many churches don't teach you that you have the authority. Many churches, all they want to do is just keep laying hands on you and seeing you down and laying hands on you and seeing you down. They cast out the demon here. The demon goes out. The person goes out and the demon is there waiting for the person and goes right back in. Okay? Because you have not been plowed. Somebody has had taken the authority, the same one that you have, cast that demon out. Now you need to take the authority to keep that spirit out. And one of the reasons I divided you into the ages group that I divided you in is because the younger group, I've been there, done that. That younger group from, you know, your 20s and all that, it's very rough age. And the reason I separated you is because every age ratio has different spirits, different demons to deal with, because as you age and as you grow older, there are different issues in your life. The group that's in your 20s, by the time you get to the group that's in the 40s, you've dealt with, you have accepted the Lord. He has cleansed you. You've been baptized. But then you come to an age where a lot of things start creeping up. And God allows that. Don't let that be a deterrent in your spiritual life. It serves for you to keep getting all that junk out of you. God has to bring it all to the surface. Because the more God takes all this out of you, and the more He plows you out, and the more He cleanses you out, He can't do it unless the things come to the surface. If we pray for you and cast those spirits out, but not give you an explanation, like this morning it was done in ministering, that they don't come just to lay hands on you and say, cast that demon out. You're giving some sort of an explanation as to where you have opened that door to allow that spirit to come in. And I know many of you were completely surprised at what the Lord this morning revealed. Things that I'm sure never in your Christian years you would have even imagined that that was there. But God allows it, not to shame you. You know, you should never be ashamed or embarrassed by deliverance. Never be ashamed or embarrassed if the deliverance worker is appropriately doing that deliverance. That's why they have the rules that are here and the regulations that are here. Because many deliverance workers, there are many people that say they are deliverance workers, and they're just transferring their junk to you. So you have to be very, the word says it, test the spirits to see if they are of God. And God has given you that spiritual authority to test the spirit, to test those spirits too. Even if the person that's praying to you, people can pray over me. I allow, you know, anyone that comes to lay hands, I pray there. And the first thing I say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let this be through your Holy Spirit. Because if it's the enemy or demons, you have the authority to cast them out, and that person will come to lay hands on you and won't be able to. Won't be able to touch you because you have given the authority to Jesus Christ. So when that demon disguised as an angel of light comes to try and lay hands on you, he can't. He just can't because you are covered. You have the covering of the blood of Jesus, and he will not allow that to happen. You have to take that spiritual authority. So many of you who today may have the habit of, well, I didn't get delivered in Lake Hamilton, so I'm going to run over to Lake whatever and see if it happens there, or river whatever, and see what happens over there. You know, you're just running into the same demon everywhere you go. And you're running from something that you have to take authority, you have to take control of your body, you have to take control of yourself. Okay? One area, and I was teaching this in my church just this week, one area where many of the churches and many Christians have lost the key and are lacking in, is that we're performing prayer, but you know how many Christians and how many children of God in churches have stopped the practice of fasting? And fasting, a lot of people think that I'm going to fast because I have a petition. Fasting is for you to humble yourselves before the Lord. And if you want to know about more about fasting, and I'm not going to speak on that today, go to that book table. There's a couple of good books there on fasting. Take it with you and begin to practice. Because fasting means that you take control of your body, You're denying, you're abstaining from food, which you heard what Tammy said, you all love to eat. Fasting means you're purposely abstaining from food so you can be cleansed out. And many people, the enemy has fooled them into saying, don't fast, because if you fast, you just get worse. Well, that's the purpose. You want to fast so God can see all the worst that is in you, and you can see all the worst that is in you and let it out. There was a story of a man, I think I read it somewhere, that he was fasting that day, and a car swerved in front of him, and he just, you know, put up that little finger that goes up. And then he realizes, oh my goodness, I'm fasting. Or it was a cartoon I saw, a little cartoon in a caricature, and he said, oh, I'm fasting. Oh, Lord, I shouldn't have been fasting. Look what I just did. And you see the little area in the top where God is like there in a chuckle, laughing and saying, well, that's the reason you're fasting, so you can get all that junk out of you and know that it's there and realize that you're being cleansed. Why? Because your purpose, you know, we love to eat. Americans all over love to eat. When you deny yourself to abstain from food, you start taking control of your body. And it's not only a spiritual thing that's good for you, but also physical and health. Okay? But let's go out of that side. So the Lord is plowing you today. And He's going to continue plowing you. So like I was saying, that group that's in their 20s, you're still what I would call in that baby stages, but you have one thing that's good for you. You have that first love. And you have that zeal. And you have the word is zeal, but you have that faith. You know, like young people, I can move mountains. You know, young people, I'm going to be president. I can do this. I can do that. And that's great, because that's what you need to just get you started. Okay? And then you need to mature. You need to start realizing the true walk that there is. God gives you that first joy. He cleanses you out. He, you know, if you're on drugs, He creates the miracle of cleansing you from drugs, from alcoholism, whatever. But then a few months later, the enemy comes around again. And he starts trying to take control. And then you start asking yourself, what happened? I stopped drinking, I stopped smoking, I stopped using drugs, and all of a sudden, the temptation like comes back. All of a sudden, something happens, and you kind of want to give up a little. Okay, I remember when I first came to the Lord, the first thing they told me, now that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're on a path of roses. 4 months later, I could have gone back and, like, Jerry, I think one lady this morning, I could... You know, come to think of it, I may still have that, because sometimes I get a pain in my shoulder. I may still have it, because sometimes when I preach, I'm like, I wish I could have told. Okay? But that's what I was told. And it is a path of roses, but it has thorns. And those thorns start coming out at a certain time. And when things started happening, all of a sudden, you know, I thought I was cleansed from everything. And I became, I became just zealous. I went all over my neighborhood. You know, Jesus loves you. Like last night you said, Jesus loves you. Look, and all my friends were like, oh, she's going crazy on us. You know, but I was just so in love that I wanted everybody to know Jesus. And then when the trial came, that the enemy came around, and I wasn't looking for him, but he needs, be vigilant, be sober. Because the enemy, as a roaring lion, is seeking always around to see who may devour. Not that he's just coming to scratch you or, you know, give you a little scratch. He's coming to devour you. That's where you have to take that authority. But when you're at that first stage, nobody teaches you that authority. Nobody teaches you. They're just teaching you, oh, you're in the Lord. Just be happy. Just sing it away. You know, if you come to church every day, you'll be okay. When you sing, and you come to church, and you're singing, and you're worshiping, and all that, in that first area of love, and then when you go out, you're like, but I don't feel that victory. But you are walking in victory. Then you come to that age when you're in your 30s and all that stuff, and God is now cleansing you. He's still plowing that area. He begins now to show you things from your past. Things start coming out. This morning you all read them. You all heard them. And you start the enemy will come in and use your bad experiences from your childhood to make you miserable, depressed, and to accuse you. So now you're angry. And now you can't move forward because you become stagnant in one place and you start making excuses. And you start saying, well, I'm the way I am because my mother this and my father that and my sister this and my brother that, or I was abused. I was sexually molested. All these things are coming to the surface, but you're not able to comprehend enough to know that there is forgiveness and that there is restitution, not only for you as the victim, but for the person who victimized you. Because we tend to always look at the victim, but the person who hurt you is also a victim, and they need restoration. I learned this working in New York with women of domestic violence, and as I was going to the different places, we start ministering to the women who have been violated and beat up and everything. And then in one of the sessions and all that, we started realizing that the person who's hurting them, their husband or their boyfriends or whatever, they're victims just as much, and they need to be delivered. But in the meantime, we have to take that woman out of that situation before she, you know, a tragedy occurs. So our first instinct is to remove the person, and then somewhere along the line, we have to work with the person that's hurting them. But getting back to that age bracket, so now, you know, you're hurt and all these things are coming out and you're angry and there's really no one that can, you know, everybody's telling you, you know, you need to forgive, and it's good. You start the process of forgiving that person. You do. You begin, Lord, I forgive them. Lord, I forgive them. But, you know, at that time, it's just words. It's not coming from here. You're not set free here. But you're putting into practice what they've told you. You're being submissive to the teaching. How many have said, Lord, I want to forgive my mother, I want to forgive my father, and all this stuff? You get to that age bracket because you need to identify the hidden things that are in you which you need to be delivered from. 2 Timothy 4:18 says, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his holy kingdom. If I'm going to be holy to enter his kingdom, He wants to deliver me from every evil thing. And he can't deliver you from every evil thing unless he demonstrates to you where the evil is and where it came from. Okay? Then you get to the age bracket of your 40s and 50s, ladies. And now there's an understanding that comes. And I say this because I had to go through it. I had to go through it myself to really understand how I'm speaking to you. And when you go through the experience yourself, you can so easily relate so much more. When I went through that age bracket, the same thing, and I pray that today many of you can understand this and the Lord would just bring that healing from whatever age you are to whatever age you're going to end in. And when I first started, yeah, that's what happened. I accepted the Lord and everything was fine. Then in my 30s and there, I couldn't find to walk so straight with God. I kept making mistakes and yielding to temptation, and things kept happening. But in my heart, I really wanted to serve God. But it was so difficult. And I went to church, never missed church, attended Bible studies. But I knew that something just wasn't right. And God was using me. I was teaching. I was preaching. I graduated from the institute and all that. But I knew that there was something more. And that is what we sang today. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. God keeps preparing you to be a sanctuary because he wants to dwell in you. And the only way he can continue to dwell in you is by us becoming that sanctuary. But the sanctuary, like the temple, it needs building. It starts from the outside. You saw how God told the Israelites to build a temple? They build it step by step, from the outside to the inside. All the way until you get to the inside and you reach the Holy of Holies. That's where I want to get, to the Holy of Holies. That's where this group has either been there or are so close to it. And that's where I want to be. See, I'm still like here, 58, but I'm getting there. And I like it because I was telling Sister Jerry last night, I said, God has a sense of humor. Said, He knows no age. He'll call a person at 80, at 90. I mean, imagine calling Moses, Abraham, at that age. But he even has a greater sense of humor. Calling Sarah at her age to have a baby. Talk about sense of humor. God comes now, I'm 58, and says, Nancy, you're going to have a child. What? First thing I'll say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Don't even go there. Okay? But God does what He has to do whenever He has to do, and He does the greatest thing many times in this age bracket because you've been plowed over and over and over and over again. And then tonight's message, you're going to see how then you're seeded and then you're harvested. And then you're plowed again. Because you create the harvest and you bring forth fruit and God has to come back and plow again because sometimes we bring forth such good fruit that we may go into ourselves and think, build the great Babylon. So God says, it's not I, it's I up there. So that's why many of us, sometimes we wonder, oh Lord, I'm 80 years old, why am I going through it? God says, I got to plow you a little bit more. Because I want you to give off more harvest. Because He has no age limit. He has no age. When I heard Sister Bijou last night say her testimony, the first thing I said is, I went back to the room, I said, 10 years without seeing that kid. I started laughing. I said, I think I would have killed him. And I said, yeah, but I would have gone to jail. And they all laughed. I said, no, I would have contracted someone to kill him. And get my kid back. The carnal mind thinks the carnal way. That's how the carnal mind thinks. You know, you want to do, I'll take it upon myself to do what I have to do. And God says, no. And you know, 10 years to God is like 1 minute. It's amazing. 10 years, we see 10 years, God sees 1 minute, 1 day. And He's up there saying, don't worry, I'm just plowing you. And she's still being plowed because she said, that 10-year-old, ooh. Okay? It's true. It's true. I mean, I would find it rough. You know, I have a 19-year-old daughter and sometimes I'm pulling out my own hair. So imagine if I had a 10-year-old. Oh, God. So we get to that age bracket. And the reason I say this is because it took a lot of time for me to be able to get over. And I can say, after I heard her last night speaking, and I, you know, she spoke on just basically two issues and a couple, and I'm thinking they're trying to write. And I was so pleased because I couldn't find to write. And I said, Lord, I said, my testimony is that I can't believe that you've really taken a lot of this stuff out of me. I mean, I can tearfully, even here, say, wow, God, you know, I said, and I'm not in that age bracket yet. But I said, wow, I'm getting there. And I love it. Because it took me a lot of time. You know, when you have a person, you know, molested at the age of 5 by her father, okay, not knowingly ignorant and not any penetration or anything, but there was, you know, you see, you know, something that nowadays they would take a father to jail for doing something like that, okay? Then at the age of 7, then at the age of 9, then at 12, and then everywhere that I went, is like these sexual spirits just tended to follow me. And it wasn't rape or anything, it was just people, family members just doing things, touching, and, you know, they would say, oh, come change the light bulb, and they're touching you, and like, you know, something is flickering in your head, there's something wrong with this. Okay? They, you know, you're uncomfortable. There's something wrong with this. But the worst part is when you have no one to talk to. That's why nowadays we might say, you know, they're giving too much kudos to the children. You know, there's too much that they want to call the, you know, the police because they're abusing or the parents. And, you know, it may have gotten overboard, but it's gotten to a point where it has to be done. Because there has been a lot of child abuse and molestation in the family that was always hidden. Because, oh no, we can't let that out. Okay. You have to let it out. But the worst part is when you have no one in your family to talk to. I came from a single parent. I couldn't talk to my mother, and if I attempted to, she was bound. She wasn't a believer, so even if she wanted to share a compassion with me, she couldn't because she didn't know how. But I didn't know that she didn't know how until I got to another age bracket. So I grew many years angry at her. How could she do that? Take off? Not know? How could she not know what was happening? It was her own friends, her own family. And I was angry. And then I was angry at Daddy, which today, I never knew him until, you know, after 5 years old, I never knew him. But, and I would say, many of us, we stand here and we say, oh, no, I'm not angry. I have forgiven him. You better cast out that lying spirit because you have not. You have not forgiven him. It says here, if we are going to be successful in a spiritual battle, we must seek more than just relief from our enemy. We must pursue to be just like Christ. You can't just say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, and go on your merry way sinning and doing everything. When Jesus went and told him, he says, go and sin no more. The only way you can sin no more is when you start having knowledge of what is hurting you so you don't continue to sin in that sin. So I kept blaming, you know, my mother. And every mistake I did, it was so much easier to just say, well, I'm like this because my environment, my mother, my father, it is easy. And the fact of it, it's easy, and yet it is a fact. Because there's an influence that is demonic and it's fleshly. Because it has hurt you in your flesh. It has hurt you in your carnal mind. It has hurt you in your emotions. And I had a friend of mine who was the wife of a pastor who went through a lot of changes with her pastor husband. And she would tell me, you know, us Christians, we're like a garbage can full of emotions. And I said, yeah, we are. Because our emotions sometimes tend to rule us. You know, we think it, something happens to us. I'll take it something even closer. We can have an argument with our husband. You come out and you say, I'm with my husband. I come out and say, you know, you left the cover off the toothpaste. Yeah. Well, after a few years, I just learned to put the cover back on and shut up. But, you know, your emotions get in the way, you know. And, you know, you come home and you're cleaning and you're tired and, you know, you go in there, you're going to brush your teeth and you're like, oh, the toothpaste is here and the cover is here. You're like, you know, us women, we're very, you know, some of us are very anal about things. We are. So, you know, you come out and you tell them, you know, you left the cover and he'll look at you like, oh, you know, you left the shower full of hair. So now comes defense. Your emotions are hurt. Oh, well, you never said anything before. Well, neither did you. You couldn't just put the cover back on. Well, could you just take the shower and wash the hair off? And before you know it, well, you remember what you did 2 years ago and 5 years back, and all hell blows over in your house over the cap, a toothpaste cap. Okay? We learn. And when you're in that age bracket and that age bracket, you know what your attitude is? I can say what I want. And that's the way I am. That's my environment. That's the way. And nobody's going to change me. Uh-huh. Somebody's going to change you. You're either going to continue to work with Satan and I rebuke him in the name of Jesus, or you're going to start being Christ-like and not just cast out the enemy, but become Christ-like. And you become Christ-like by knowing the gifts of the Spirit. You follow the gifts of the Spirit that are in Galatians. And then if you read what the lusts of the flesh and all that is in there, you're going to say, well, this is me and this is not me. Okay? So you need to take control. Influence of spirits is expressed through our habits. In other words, if I don't like something, the enemy cannot tempt me with it. If I don't like to drink, he's not going to tempt me with a drink. Okay? If I like to watch pornography, he's going to make sure that everywhere I go, I'm going to see something that's... If I like men or women or children, you're going to get tempted by your weakness. That's where the temptation comes in. Okay? If you don't come from a family of alcoholism or anything, that's not going to bother you. My family, on my mother's side, deep, deep alcoholic spirit. Four uncles all died alcoholics. One of them was found in the terrace with him and his wife. He was found dead in the terrace. A couple of days later, rats were chewing on his toes. The wife was inside drunk, thought he was just sleeping. Okay, talk about an alcoholic spirit that leads to destruction. It's got to be stopped. I didn't know when I first came to the Lord how to stop it. So I have to say, Lord, it's in your hands. It's in your mercy. I'm not going to blame God for what happened, for what I didn't know. I leave everything in his hands. And that's something we have to learn. You can't blame God for things that happened in the past. It's over. It's done. You got to move on. From the day God called you, that's your day to move forward. You only move backward to forgive, to repent, to know what's there, to bind and break those generational curses in your family, and then you continue moving forward, but don't step back. And don't blame God or anybody else. Influence of spirits is expressed through our own habits, our personality traits, and the way we live our lives. The way you live your life is how the demonic influences come into your life. To reach the level of spirituality that Jesus wants from us, we need deliverance from all these spirits. And I go on to say, so it was easier to blame my mother, blame my father, blame everybody else. So I was talking to my mother, and I had a relationship with my mother, but it was one of those relationships that was very volatile. You know, she would call, and my minister Brune is there because I testified this in church. She would call me on the phone, I'd be like, yeah, Ma. And I would put her on speakerphone and just leave her there. Okay? I didn't think that it was offensive. The word says, honor your mother and your father so that your days will be long upon the earth. And I want to sit in this area. And further. Okay? I want to reach further. I want to reach 80, 90, whatever age God wants, I want to get there. But I can only get there if I continue to want to become Christ-like. Not just beg and plead, Lord, I want to be like you, I want to be like you. Stop those wimpy prayers. Take authority and declare yourself to be victorious. Okay? We talk a lot about victory. Victory is great. You have victory while you're in the battle. When I was in that age group, I was victorious because I battled. When I left that age group, I was no longer victorious in that. I was now triumphant. Because I had passed that level. Then I went into this age group and a new battle, a new war, because new things kept surfacing up. Then I passed into the other age group, a new battle, a new war. Now I got to go into this age group and a new battle and a new war. Okay? You know what happens in this age group many times with this queen here? What she said last night, you many times suffer the sense of loss because the older you get, you know, your friends, your family. Your friends are gone. Many of your family. So now you're lost and alone. So now you got to begin that new journey. Where God says, you may be lonely, but you're not alone. Okay? So you see how every age session has its own battles, its own structure, your own freedom. There's a book there, I don't think they have it here, by Neil Anderson. It's called Steps to Freedom. I started using that book when I bought it 2 years ago. I bought about 10 copies of it, and I gave it to all the grandsons in the family. Because, you know, I just breezed through it in Amazon.com, and I said, you know, one year I said, since we're a Christian family, my husband and I, we share a family of 10 kids, 24 grandchildren, 4 great-grandchildren. So I said, I'm going to give everybody a spiritual Christian gift. So I started looking through the internet for the young girls, teenage books, everybody. Of course, some of them, when they got it, they were like, oh. They wanted, you know, Nintendo, Wii, whatever, which they weren't getting from me. So that's where you got parents. So then some of them I know, you know, put them away. Two of the grandsons came and said, oh, that book, it was a little booklet, like a workbook. It said, Steps to Freedom. He said, it really helped him so much that he went on to a Christian college and wants to study for the ministry. He says, it really helped him. Another one of the granddaughters, she was like 16 at the time, 17. She went through a little relationship problem with a boyfriend, this and that, blah, blah, blah. They broke up. And, you know, when you're 17, oh, my God, you break up, it's like the whole world just fell on you. I will never find love again. It's like that soap opera. You're 17. It's like, oh, my God, the whole world just ended. I've been there, done that. And it happens when you're 30, too. So she had that little relationship, and she was one of those that took the book and was like, oh, put it away. She put it somewhere in her bedroom. When that relationship went a little sour, and her mother was like, oh, take it easy, blah, blah, blah. One day she just went and found the book. And it had to do with, you know, teenage girls and all that. And she started reading it. And she went to her mother and says, Mom, now I understand God's purpose for my life. She says, I'm okay. It took a year later, something that I gave her. So God uses someone, uses you, but you're being plowed. The seed is in, but it takes time to harvest. It takes time to harvest. So whatever pain you're going through now, you're being harvested. That seed is there. And when that harvest comes forth, you go and you jump into another age bracket, into another new war, another new trial, but you come forth with more knowledge, more wisdom. When I was in the age 20 group, I fasted like crazy. But it was a wrong fast, a very wrong fast, because I was seeing someone when I first accepted the Lord. I was seeing someone. And I went to a Pentecostal intense doctrine church. You know, one of those can't be fornicating, which is true, you know. And if you're in some kind of not good condition, it wasn't like John the Baptist when he went and said, you've repented, be baptized, go forward. This one, no. You got to be perfect first, and then you can get into those waters. So I came in. Of course, I wasn't perfect, but I had that love. Oh, God. But I was with someone. So he tells me, well, you got to get married. I'm like, I'm with the person. You know, I was 23 years old. Nowadays, there's still some 23-year-old virgins. I wasn't. We have in our church still, thank God, 19 and 22-year-old virgins. I praise that. And, you know, my daughter, her daughter, our other co-pastor's daughter, she's 23, still untouched. And so I'm looking at the pastor, and I'm saying, I come from out there, living, you know, that nice worldly life, and common sense says, this is not a person to marry. Because common sense, it's not going to last. Yeah, he's a person of the world. The easiest thing would have been for me to just say, well, you know what? I accepted the Lord. You need to go. I got to start a new walk. But they're telling you, no, you're in fornication, so now you have to get married. And that's like a whole other issue because I don't want to get into the doctrine. But it goes to show you how the leaders need to develop that kind of compassion and understanding to be able to lead you in the right path. I did not have to marry this person. I didn't. All I had to do was say, you know what? I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't be with anyone. I cannot practice sex out of marriage. I cannot be in fornication. You need to just leave. He wasn't living in my house anyway. It was just, you know, someone I was saying, you need to leave because I need to start a new life. But when I went to speak to that leader and I brought him in, I said, you know, maybe if I bring him to you, you can, you know, really see, you know, because my husband and me, if one of the young girls brings some guy and we look at him like, don't you dare get into that relationship. Run to the mountains. We've done it. We've done it with ladies in their 50s, one lady who came to the church and she met this man and she was in her 40s and she's talking to the pastor and myself and I want to marry him and we're going, no, you don't. No, I don't want to be alone. You're better off alone. And you know what? She had the nerve to tell, my husband says, I'm going to pray for this relationship. Look how ignorant sometimes some of us are and how the enemy will fool us. And many of you, if you're going through divorces or you're being single or like I heard this morning, God has somehow taken that man just out of your life. Let them pray for you in the power of the Spirit, the way the Lord guides them, and do not reject the prayer that any of the leadership here has for you. Let the revelation come. And if God tells you today, you're better off alone, because I heard it, take it from God and from the servant he is. You're better off alone. You're better off alone. I'd rather be alone by myself and miserable than be miserable with someone in my household that's not making me happy. Because alone, I'm with the Lord. Okay? I had a lady in my church, a senior. She said that her husband was such an alcoholic and giving her such a hard time that one day she knelt down and she said, Lord, just take him away and don't let him come back. She said 2 days later, that man stepped out. She hadn't seen him for 20 years to the day she was testifying. She said, I don't miss it. She said, that's what I asked God. God gives you, the Holy Spirit teaches you how to pray. And sometimes we think prayers can be rough and hard. Sometimes you need to be rough and hard. If the Holy Spirit puts that in you, pray accordingly. Because it says sometimes we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit will teach us what. And you may say, boy, that prayer was kind of strange or rough. That's okay. You know, tough love that we have to practice with our kids? That happened. So the lady came and had the kind of the nerve to tell my husband, he says, we're going to pray for you. And she says, oh, but don't pray for us not to get married or for God to take him away. And my husband said, if that's your desire, I won't pray that way. They got married. 2 years later, he was abusive to her, destructive. My husband almost got into a fight with him because he says, that's a member of my church. That's a woman. You don't lay hands on a woman, ever. They ended up getting divorced. And to this day, she's still alone. And I told her, you still want a husband? She goes, no, I'm really waiting on God. I said, good. Isn't that a horrible way to learn a lesson? But sometimes we have to. We have to because that's our character. Because the enemy, again, like I said, the demonic spirits enter your life because of whatever influence you give them. Whatever your weakness is, that's where he's going to come and attack. If you don't like to be alone, he's going to make you feel lonely, miserable. So whatever weakness is there, he's going to use that against you. So that's where you have to take authority. That's where you have to know who you are. That's where it's important for you to know what your weaknesses are so you can fight against them. So you can take control. The word says, humble yourself. It doesn't say that God is going to step down and humble you. It says, humble yourselves. It says, if my people will humble themselves, then I will give them what they want. Humble yourself in fasting, in prayer, and in saying, God, let your will be done. Jesus Christ had to humble himself in Gethsemane when he said, oh, Lord, pass this cup from me. But let it be your will and not mine. We all have a part that needs to be surrendered to God. Can you take a few minutes now and meditate? What is the part in you that needs to be surrendered to God? And not just one. Some of you may have 2, 3, 4, 5. I want you to repeat this prayer with me. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this time. And I will get my deliverance. I will share in fellowship with you daily through heartfelt prayer. Father, help me humble my heart and my mind. Help me look into my spirit to see what is really there and to see what you see. Grant me self-honesty and a path to deliverance. Curses affect you in 3 areas. Your spirit man, it affects your relationship with God. Your soul realm, it affects your mind, your will, your emotions, and your thinking. As the man thinketh, it says, so is he. And many times our heart can be deceitful. That's why it says, I will turn your heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And he cleanses it. It affects our body, our health, physically. Many of you sometimes, you know, you're sick and you're going through all this. The ministering this morning, you saw how many of us, we were afflicted with different ailments and all that. Many times, unless it's a specific case, let's say like a blind man or a lame man or a crippled man, something like that, or a mental torment like the person, the Gadarene, and stuff like that. Many times, a lot of these physical ailments come from a demonic force that's hindering your life. When a person is ailing physically, you know, it's very hard for them to really function spiritually. Because your mind is more intense on that pain. Okay? You're more intense, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. And us, especially the leadership, we need to see that. If I see a person in the church that comes in, they're limping or something, and you see me there, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, whatever is happening there, bring a healing. What is there? Bring revelation. So that person can sit in that service and truly enjoy the service and not be sitting there, oh, my back hurts and my neck hurts and I got a headache and all that. You know, so they could, because the enemy will attack you in every single way possible. And there are three stages of deliverance. Tearing down the strongholds, which you're willing to. How many of you are here today willing to tear down those strongholds? You that are listening in the internet, willing to tear down those strongholds. Three stages. Tearing down the stronghold, removing the legal right. And that's an important part, and I'd like to finish. Legal right is many times given, either knowingly or unknowingly. My body, I gave it over to a legal right unknowingly when that abuse started when I was 5, 7, and 9. Did I know that? Of course not. Did I get to an age level when I would say, God, why did you let that happen? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Going back to my first marriage, that I married this man, and out of it, my son, who's now 33 years old, was conceived out of wedlock, but born after wedlock. But there was a legal right given in the conception because he was born out of wedlock. And to this day, I'm still suffering the consequences of that. Okay? Do I give up? Absolutely not. I already prayed to take away the legal right and close that door in the name of Jesus. I prayed that prayer of faith. You prayed that prayer of faith. However, because of the legal right that was given, and he came out of a womb that he came infected out of the womb because the womb I had given legal right to conceive him out of wedlock. So I opened my womb to that infection. I had to pray for the Lord to cleanse my womb. Come on, ladies out there. Pray for the Lord to cleanse that womb because you have children that are giving you a headache. And tonight I'll speak a little on that. Okay? So I had to pray for that. But in the course of his life, because of the legal right that I allowed him, he made certain decisions. We can't control the decisions, but we can control the outcome of their life in general by faith. Okay? And no matter how wrong they're doing, our faith is that the day he closes his eyes and breathes his last breath, God, I know that he's going to be with you. Because the word says, serve the Lord your God and you and your family. Be faith and you and your family shall be saved. I have to believe in that promise. If I don't believe in that promise, I make God a liar and I limit God's blessing for me. I'm not going to limit God's blessing. There was a story that I read. It was very interesting. It said that this man died and he met, you know, St. Peter at the gates, whatever. That's how the story goes. He met Peter at the gates. And, you know, he's going in and he's looking, where are all the saints and all that? And he's showing him, you know, he starts telling him, you know, he starts seeing family members. And he sees this huge warehouse in heaven. And he's saying to St. Peter, what's in the warehouse? And he's saying, no, let's leave that alone. You don't want to go in there. So he's showing him, you know, all of heaven, and he's going around. He says, but what's in the warehouse? So Peter says, no, leave that for later. You don't really, no, he didn't say leave that for later. He says, forget about the warehouse. He goes, forget about the warehouse. But Peter kept showing him, and the guy in heaven snuck away and went to the warehouse. So it says that the Peter followed him. So when they go inside, all he sees is this warehouse shelves full of boxes and boxes. They look like shoe boxes. Boxes and boxes. He says, what are all those boxes? And he said, oh, those are boxes that have names on them. Names of individuals that have passed. He says, oh, man, my name is in there. He says, no, you don't want to go look. No, and the guy went and he's looking. He found a box with his name on it. And he pulled it out. And when he looked inside, he went, what is all this? And he was so shocked. He said that Peter told him, those are all the blessings that God had in store for you, and you never asked for them. Ask and ye shall receive. For there is a storehouse of blessings in heaven ready to be poured upon you. Ask for those blessings. Appeal to the Lord for those blessings. When you say, Lord, bless me, bless my children, bless my home, bless me with prosperity, bless me with bless me with knowledge, with wisdom. All those blessings are stored up in that one little shoebox. And it's waiting for you to just ask. Ask. There was a cartoon character that I gave out in my class the other day that the man is standing there and one has a cup filled and it says faith and the other one has the cup face down. And the guy with the cup, he's holding it and they're pouring. And the other one tells him, hey, I want some of that. What do I need? What do I have to do? And he says, turn your cup over. Turn, today the Lord is telling you, turn your cup over. You have it face down. You're praying, but you have it face down. Turn it over. The Lord has been ministering to many of you this morning, last night. Many of you turned your cup over and were able to put it in that box. As the three of us are speaking here and the other leaders are ministering, this is not just a coincidence. We're not standing up here because, you know, we came pre-prepared from months ago. Yet, we did. Because God already knew what was going to happen here. We probably did know it. A lot of what I'm saying now, I was telling Minister Bruni, I'm struggling with this because it's like God is telling me this and I want to go this way. You know, and you don't know why. But then you have to say, it is not I, Lord, but it is you. It is not I, Lord. But it is you. When you're ministering, it's not just people up here. When you're ministering in your home, in your job, in this place, whatever you do with your hands. I like what she said today. The hands are for ministry. Whatever you do with your hands is a blessing. Do it unto God. God will bless you. When your children go to sleep at night, go and pray for them. Bless them. There's a storehouse of blessing. Bless everybody that you see. Blessings are abundant. It doesn't hurt you to walk by somebody and say, Lord, bless that person today. It doesn't hurt. It's there. So, and the third stage of deliverance is casting out those demons. But not for show. Not for show. Okay? There was a lady in my church, I think it was just this Sunday. And for whatever reason, whatever is there is like a bondage and we don't know why it's still there. So she came in and she said, and she started, you know, twitching her, you know. So my husband just went and put hands on her and said, calm in the name of Jesus. Okay? Because, and she did it a couple of times. He would say, take control in the name. And she would sit there. We had to leave because he was going to the airport. Then Minister Carmen, our co-pastor, we left her. The next day I'm talking to her and she said, after you guys left, she sat there and I saw her lips started to twitch and all that. And she said, and I got up quietly. I said, in the name of Jesus. Oh. And she tells me, and it happened three times. Because demons like to come in and, you know, they want to be the act. They have no place in this place unless you give it to them. But if you have given it to them, they're not in here with you. So watch it when you go out there. Do not give any legal right. Do not open the door to any demonic influence. If there's a weakness in you, if there's something you repent, confess it, and repent from it. So she tells me the interesting part was, she says, after the service finished, she's going around greeting everybody and she's perfectly fine. I said, because sometimes those spirits try to come in to perturb and want attention. Okay? You don't need your body to be used as an instrument of Satan to get attention. I tell you today, And I want to finish with this because tonight I'll continue. Take authority. Take control of your body. Take authority, spiritual authority over yourself. Take that scripture. Neither give place to the devil. And as I said, I was blaming my mother for this and all this. As I started going from this age bracket to this, I started severing those thoughts. And I asked the Lord, give me a different mindset so that I can understand. And you know what? All of a sudden, I started to see my mother in a whole different light. I stopped seeing, oh, she worked all day and I was alone at home. And that happened because there was an influence. Many of you were prayed for because your parents weren't there to nurture you. Okay? But you know what? Get over it. Pray about it. Forgive them. Get an understanding. If the Lord today has brought that out, it's because you need to just get over it. You need to, you're already in the battle. The Lord today has given you victory. Now you need to be triumphant by pulling out of it. I started to see her by the grace of God in a different light. So I no longer saw a woman that worked all day and wasn't there for me. I saw a woman that worked all day and brought home the bread and the butter. And I had a good home, furniture, I had food in my refrigerator. And then even more, I said, because of her, I am what I am. Because she was a strong person. I only wanted to see the negative because I was hurting. But it came to a point where I wanted to stop hurting. I wanted to be more Christ-like because Christ hurt more than me. And he managed to make it to that cross with so much love that he was able to say, Father, forgive them. And that's why I said many times we say, I forgive them, I forgive them, I forgive them. But it's just coming from here. When you're able to crucify your flesh and yourself with Christ, then you can truly say, Father, forgive them. And it just pours out of your heart. And you feel that forgiveness for that person. When I was fasting for my son, I had never prayed this prayer until about 3 weeks ago. And I stood there and I said, Lord, forgive my son. Forgive him his sins. Not because I was feeling guilty, but because I was able to crucify my flesh, my feelings, my disappointments, my guilt. I crucified all that. I said, it's no longer my fault. It's over. Like you said last night, the curse is over. What he's doing now is consequences of the decisions he's made when he reached manhood. I couldn't control that anymore. But I was able to fast and pray and ask for understanding and say, Father, forgive him. And really know that God heard me just like he heard Jesus. And I know that his sins are forgiven and he can move on to a new life. And you know what? I'm seeing the results.
All right.
I'm seeing slowly the same healing that I've been able to receive with my mother, that now we have a great relationship. Minister Booty's there. Now they hear me talk. She was telling me this morning, she says, yeah, I could tell you have a better relationship with your mother because you speak more about her. I was in the back sharing with her in a very positive way because now I see her. She adopted a kid, and at first I used to laugh because I said, she took the kid only because she wanted the money. Okay? Now I say, no, she needed that kid. My mother's 82 years old. She needed that mentally challenged foster kid that she adopted today and who's 20 years old. I was able now to see that in a different light. And seeing that in a different light, now there's a relationship. Now I can honor her. Now I know I'm going to go past this age. Because it says, honor your mother and your father, and your days will be long upon the earth. So now I know by the grace of God, I'm going to go past this age. And if I don't, I'll be better because I'll be with the Lord. But I know I'm going to pass this age because I'm following the commandments. Honor your mother and your father. So you see what I mean? The relationship begins to take a whole new turn. But where did it start? With me. It started with me. The sister this morning right here standing, she was saying, she says, you know, I came here 3 years ago and she told Sister Jerry and you ministered to me. And she says, it's been, my life has been changing. That's where you know that the person not just depended on what the person prayed and said, okay, the person prayed, I'm delivered, but took it in, heard what was said, heard the revelation, heard where it was coming from, went home, took it in, and said, I got to address this issue. Because God says, humble yourselves. We can't pray, Lord, humble me. He's going to say, humble yourselves. And when you do, you start seeing the harvest in your life. It just springs up. And in doing that, now I see the relationship between my son. It's like slowly coming. All of a sudden, thank you, Mom. And he went on the internet and he put my photo in there. I want to thank my mom who was in labor with me for 14 hours and gave birth to me. Thank God for my mama. I love my mama. I was like, wow. And you know, and I know that it was hard for him to sometimes say, I love you, because he blamed me for a lot of things. And one of them, when he was 19, I took a stand and I said, if you can't follow the ways of this house, you need to either move or you change. He didn't change. He still kept saying, you threw me out. I said, no, I gave you an option. I gave you an option. I said, work, go to school, follow the rules. You didn't go to work, you didn't go to school, you weren't follow the rules. And when I asked you, I hope he's not listening on the internet. And when I asked you, what are you going to do? Where are you going to live? You said, I have friends. I said, so I gave you an option. And I used to speak a lot of negativity. Oh, he's this, he's that, you know, he's lazy. And I said, I got to stop that. I got to stop that. I said, no more. And when I see him, he says, oh, Ma, this and that, and I don't have the job. And I say, you know what? Be patient. Sometimes you got to use whatever you got to use. I read in the postcard one day, and I told him, you know, the first thing that came to my mind, I said, you know, when God closes the door, an angel opens the window. Because sometimes there's a blockage there, and you can't speak to them because they can't accept, because they're angry. So they're like, I don't want to accept what my mother says because she hurt me and all that. So there's like this block, and you want to penetrate it because it's you that wants to penetrate it. You got to let the Holy Spirit give you the time to penetrate. So I just used that, you know, worldly saying that I saw one of those Hallmark cards or something. And he calls me back 20 minutes later, and he said, hey, Ma. And I said, yeah. He says, you know that thing you said about the window and the doors and all that? I said, yeah, that's how he said it. He said, well, I left Manhattan, I came to the Bronx, they sent me here, and as soon as I went in, they told me to come in Monday. I said, oh, praise God. Well, I said, oh, praise the Lord. I didn't push it into him. We got to find the time. And I've gotten to this age bracket. So you in there and there, you see what awaits you? Then you see what awaits you here? So you have a journey. You got a journal, right? You got that little gift? Write down the things, how you've emerged and evolved. Keep those journal, because when you go back and you read it, you can see what God has done because you have led Him to it. I have to end because we don't want to make Tammy mad. You got 45 minutes. Let's just pray a short prayer, and we'll be back. It's Diane Bijou, and I know we're in for a wonderful treat. Take everything in today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just want to thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. We want to thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let every word that has been spoken, that has been taken in, Lord, be powerful words. Words of, Lord, of deliverance. Words of wisdom. Words, of Lord, that can be taken into our hearts and just set us free. Lord, the same way I have been set free and I continue to be set free, I want the same for these ladies. That is my prayer, Lord. That is the prayer of every leader in Lake Hamilton Camp, oh Lord. Everyone that has come here to minister, from our praying warriors, oh Lord, to our speakers, to those that are ministering in the kitchen and around, Lord, we just want to thank you. And we know that the Shekinah of Jehovah will just be ever present in this place all the way until tomorrow. And many will be set free in the name of Jesus. But not only set free today, but set free forever. Lord, I pour upon them spiritual authority so that we can take control and know that Satan is defeated in the name of Jesus, because you have given us the power. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And bless the food, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you.
This is the end of this message.